Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Say, how good are you at solving computer problems? I'm not the best. I have some things that I do that sometimes work and sometimes they don't. And that's why it's good to have Peter Green with us today. Pete is a computer consultant with Infostar.com, and he stops by every other month to help you with your computer-related problems. And he helps me out, too, for the matter of fact. So, what helps you fix your computer? What other computer questions do you have? I hope you'll join in our conversation. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And Peter Green, welcome back.
Always great, Larry.
Good to have you with us. Well, when your computer isn't working, it is a problem.
Yes, it is. Sometimes you feel like throwing it out the window or kicking it or screaming or punching it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot you can do to be prepared.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot you can do to try and tackle your problem before you give up and, you know, take it into a store or call in a consultant.
Well, ahead of time, preventing problems, what are some things that...
Well, I put up a list of tips on my tips page. So at Infostar.com on the left-hand side, if you click on tips, the very first tip is what we're talking about. And it's got a lot of tips within that number one. And I still have some work to do on it because Jill, our producer, gave me a little bit of a homework. You know, she said, what do you think about this topic? And I read the article and I was like, it doesn't quite cover it all. There's a lot more. So I expanded on a whole bunch of areas. One was using your favorite search engine to look up like an error message and also using something like YouTube for tutorials on how to do something. So you find your solution, you're not quite sure if you get it, so go to YouTube and then see if someone else has actually done it and, you know, just check out the video. Antivirus and malware, we talk about that all the time. There are a bunch of free ones out there, so, you know, I point people in the direction about that. Web browsers, having more than just what your system comes with. So like Firefox, Mozilla, Chrome, Safari. So, a lot of people probably don't realize this, but Safari is used on the Mac, but there's also Safari for the PC, for Windows.
Yeah.
So you can also get that one. Making sure your operating system is up to date. Now, this is something where we've had lots of talks about.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a... It's a quandary, catch-22 kind of, because of the problem with the chips being compromised for security flaws. So the operating system has to be updated to deal with those. So the other part of that is that the operating system updates have caused issues in and of themselves.
Yes, as we've talked about.
Right. And I remember years ago someone calling in saying, hey, you know, don't tell your audience to not update Windows. Please make sure they update it. And then we reached this point in time where updating Windows could cause problems and you have to go back. So I actually talk about that in the tip where, you know, utilizing stuff like Windows Restore and Time Machine for Apple. Making sure your registry and Windows environment is clean, especially if you're installing or looking at a lot of different programs, because you'll get a lot of bad entries, which will slow down your machine. Device drivers. And that also has to do with Windows updates more than like in the Apple environment, because sometimes Windows, for whatever reason, decides that they need to mess with the device drivers. And that's why you have to restore your operating system back to the prior version because they messed with the device driver. Email, keeping your email organized and running utilities that clean up all of your temporary internet files because, you know, when you look at a web page, all those pictures are actually temporary files on your system and they build and build and build. So your every web page that you look at is actually cached or saved to your hard drive in this temporary internet place. And if you don't periodically clean them, they grow and grow, and your system gets, you know, more weighted down and slower because of that. Fixing a system that needs more usable space, we talk about like resizing your recycle bin. So it's smaller and not using 10% of your operating system. The system restore can also be resized instead of using another 10-12% of your space. So those are other little things. And then there are Windows tools that if you're having system crashes or hiccups or burps, Windows has tools called DISM. I know I got the here, Deployment Image Servicing and Management. So that's something they can do online with your system, with Microsoft. And then there's SFC Scan Now. And those things check the integrity of your Windows operating system files. And there are articles and tutorials about that out there as well. And then, of course, make sure you do your backups.
Yeah.
So, and there are a lot of options for backups.
Regina on Facebook says when she has a problem, when she has a problem, first thing she does is checks the cords for tight connections. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, it's just something as simple as that.
Yep. It's not only just checking your cords. Sometimes it's simple as maybe you have problems with your power strip. Power strips are designed to protect, but they also will go out when they protect. So that's one thing. Another thing is to make sure that when you plug in to your ports on your computer, that you're noting the orientation. You know, you look at the cable, you look at the back of the computer or the front of the computer, and make sure the orientation is correct. And a lot of times these cables can only go in one way. But the act of actually forcing them, even gently, over time, can actually cause them to crack internally and malfunction.
Yeah.
So, you know,
be careful out there.
And when you pull them out, grab them firmly at the end, not by the cord and yanking it so you stretch it, but at the end and then pull it out firmly.
Lots of good tips there. Let's take some calls. Every one of our lines is filled. So Joanne in Green Bay has been waiting a bit. Joanne, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi there.
Hi.
I bought a MacBook Air in 2013. I have 61 apps on it. When I work, I frequently have many tabs open. And about 15, 20 minutes later, my computer will freeze. I did find out that I have a 121.12 GB on the hard drive, and 80 of that is used. So I'm assuming that my hard drive is getting to the point where I either have to eliminate some apps or get a new computer or something.
That's a very good observation because that's true. What happens with all the operating systems that are out there, the way they work, is they have what's called swap space. So by definition, what that is the amount of RAM that's in your computer, and whether it's Windows or Apple, they use swap space that's assigned to just use as like a chalkboard. And they cache things in and out of that space. When you're loading programs, it's used, and that space is assigned based on how much memory RAM is in your computer, not on how big your hard drive is. So as that used space gets smaller and smaller, your free space just it's There's almost the, like a cinch, you know. Yeah. it's like a noose that just keeps getting tighter and tighter.
So can she add memory?
I'm not sure if a MacBook Air is, if you can open that up and add memory. I put a link to a resource that has all the specs, and that's actually another thing that I talked about in tips is knowing about your system and what you have. One of the resources online can tell you everything you need to know about your Macs. Since they came out, they list all the specs for every single one. With Windows, things change, based on the manufacturer, sometimes they use different video cards and different in the same model, or maybe they add a T at the end of their model and then change the video card or whatever it is. So there are utilities for Windows machines. You can also click on the Apple on the top left and then about this Mac, and it'll give you some specs. But you'd have to look up and see if the MacBook Air, I'm guessing it's probably sealed.
I think it is.
But I'm not positive.
Yeah, so there you go. You look that up, Joanne, and then you may have to wind up with...
Well, the option is, just looking at all the apps that you have, do you really use all of them? You know, I look at my phone and I keep adding apps to it, and I've got a lot of memory on my phone, but do I really need all of them? And every now and then I go through and delete what I don't use.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Good luck, Joanne. Thanks a lot for calling. Let's see. Dave in Milwaukee has something for us. Dave, hi.
Hi. My son, he brought it home, and it was in airplane mode, so it wouldn't connect to Wi-Fi. I went on YouTube and found 3 or 4 different fixes. I've tried them all, including using the keypad to deactivate airplane mode, including tinkering with some of the settings in an effort to deactivate airplane mode. And I'm at a total, as well as looking at the physical, looking at the Chromebook itself to find if there was a switch to deactivate airplane mode, and I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of at my wit's end with regard to this airplane mode because it makes the Chromebook unusable.
Yeah, so we got a Chromebook with in airplane mode that needs to be out of airplane mode.
So have you, Chromebook is basically Google's version of, dealing with hardware and software. Have you done any searches with Google to... have you exhausted all of those solutions?
I have. I went through every possible lead. I can't help but think there's something in settings or in the, some operating system glitch here.
Have you? I haven't worked with a Chromebook in a long time, but since it's airplane mode, it basically has to do with Wi-Fi. You're using the Chromebook in a Wi-Fi environment, correct?
Yes, that's the point.
So what I would do is I would look and see if you could try disabling and then re-enabling the Wi-Fi adapter in the Chromebook. You've done that?
I have.
Okay. Have you tried looking for any updated device driver for the Wi-Fi component?
Tried that.
Okay.
That was another fix that was suggested on YouTube.
Okay. The other one is, if you have any data on your system, make sure it's backed up. I'm sure there's probably like a factory reset. That's kind of like the last thing that you would do.
Yeah.
Versus like with...
No, I'll try that. It's my son's. I don't care what's on there.
You might want to ask him. But anyhow, that would be the last thing that I would try if you really feel like you've exhausted everything, because the airplane mode has to do with Wi-Fi and networking. If none of those things have worked, then I would try doing a factory reset. And if that doesn't work, then it's obviously pointing to the fact that there is a problem with the hardware.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Sounds like Dave pretty up on things, and he's tried most everything. So
I just want to make sure he's exhausted a lot of the options.
Absolutely. Peter Green, our guest today, computer consultant with Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our producer. He's actually our engineer. Jill Nadeau is our producer here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your computer today with Peter Green of Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us. All our lines are filled, so we will go right back to the phones. Mike in Oshkosh up next. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Peter. been a fan of yours for many, many, many years, and your Infostar.com.
Thanks.
Question. Once in a while, I go through and I look at all my cookies manually, and I delete just about everything that I think is junk and just leave the few that deal with financial institutions and other things where I like to save information and passwords. Now, this is very tedious. Takes a long time.
Yes, it does.
Is there any way I can make a copy of that so that later on when my cookies get overloaded again, I can just dump the whole thing and pull in this copy?
You'd have to do a search to make sure you know where it's located on your system. And if you know where that is, you can just, you know, copy that entire folder to a different location. And then, you know, if you want to do your surgical, you know, remove the files that you don't want to keep and so forth, once you get that folder, you know, tip-top shape the way you want it, anytime your cookie folder fills up, you can use the program to delete the cookie files and then just simply copy back the cookies that you had before. The only problem with that is that if anything has changed as related to the information in the cookies that were deposited on your machine, those won't be updated. So
that's the one thing.
Yeah, that's the one thing you'd have to deal with.
There you go. Good luck, Mike. Thank you.
I typically just delete them all. You know, I just start over.
Yeah.
You know, and typically you get, you know, it's more of a password issue, you know, and having the site remember who you are and makes it a little easier to get in. But it's also a good thing to make sure that, you know, if you delete them all, that you got your act together and you know how to get back in if you really need to.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to do it.
Mike, thanks again. Let's go to Joanne in Madison. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I have a Samsung 7S phone, and I'm very low on storage space, and I'm fairly certain it has to do with stored photos on the phone.
Yeah.
I have the Samsung Gallery app that comes preloaded, and I use Google Photos to store.
Okay.
I use the free up space after things are backed up to the cloud on Google. So I'm not actually storing anything on the Google app, but I recently scanned several hundred old photographs on my home Mac, desktop Mac, to store, and I was putting those all into Google, and then I started getting this "you're dangerously low on space" message, and I saw that everything I scanned went into the Samsung Gallery app as well. So I'm trying to find a safe way to delete all those photos from the Samsung Gallery app without also deleting them from Google and Google Cloud. And I can't seem to find anything online in any of the forums that convince me that that's 100% safe to do. Any ideas?
There's actually an app that Samsung puts out that allows you to, you know, when you cable to your computer, it allows you to see your photos and other files on your Samsung. So you could go, you know, and delete what you needed to off of your phone that way.
And that'll delete the photos from the gallery, though? The Samsung gallery? Well,
it gives you access to all of that.
So, but if she takes them off her phone, they're not going to come off the gallery.
They're not going to come off of anything in the cloud.
Okay.
But if you have them on your phone, they're taking up space. You're going to see the files that you want to delete. But if you had already copied them to the cloud, they'll still be there.
Still be in the cloud.
Right, but it won't be on your phone. So if you want something in your gallery, the gallery is kind of like giving you an overview of everything. So, you know, if the photo is taking up space and you need to get it off of your phone, it's not going to show up in your Samsung gallery because that's kind of like the manager to show you all the media that you have to look at for pictures.
Okay.
But if you move a copy to the cloud, so like for sometimes it's easier, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this, but let's say you want a picture that you have on your phone, but you want to get it to a desktop computer. What are your options?
Well, you can email.
I'm asking you a question. What would be your options?
You can put it in an email and email it.
Sure. But sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes you would think that that email would be travel at light speed and, you know, boom, it'd be right there, right? But sometimes it isn't. So it's actually easier to transfer to the Google Drive and put the pictures up there than it is to actually email it to yourself. So once you've got those pictures up on the drive, that's they're sitting there. They're staying there unless you actively go in and delete them. But when you work on your phone and you use an app that says, hey, you know, here are my picture files, here are my PDF files, here are my videos, and you can see all of them, if you delete them off of your phone, they're going to be gone unless you've and completely gone unless you back them up to some other device or to the cloud.
Yeah. Makes sense. Joanne, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. By the way, you can join in too. Finally, we have some open lines at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a computer question or issue, I hope you'll join in. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Dylan in Milwaukee up next. Dylan, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Larry. Hello, Peter. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question about antivirus and internet security suites. I currently have Kaspersky Internet Security. I know there's been some questions about Kaspersky's loyalties, and I wanted to get Peter's opinion on what do you think of Kaspersky? Is it something we should worry about? Is it still a legitimate internet security suite? And that's my question.
Okay.
Boy, that's a great question. You know, we live in a global economy, global environment. There's, you know, good and bad sides to everything. You know, the fact that there's a Russian connection and with some of the stuff that's going on with our government and stuff like that, the technology part, I don't really question. But, you know, if there's evidence and proof of issues, then, you know, are they legit? You know, I can't be a judge and jury on those kind of things. So, you know, you have to pay attention. You have to, you know, do some due diligence, some research. If people are having issues with it, you know, then maybe it's time for a change as related to people that use that. I can't say yes or no.
Yeah.
I know that stuff that we do business-wise, we work with people on the other side of the globe. I don't know exactly where they're based in every country. I mean, if I took the time, I could probably find out. But I do know that we converse, you know, online, occasionally by phone. Most of the time, if we have a conversation, it's going to be with Skype or something like that. We meet at different times of the day based on, you know, what time it is there for them and time mm-hmm. for us. But they do what we ask. We do what they ask, and, you know, all things are good. So, you know, to say that there's an issue with, you know, a program coming from whatever, wherever Kaspersky is based, I can't say.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you do your due diligence and you keep on top of things.
And if you're worried about something, well, like with anything, mm-hmm. I mean, you can look at other options.
Yeah. I mean, I had problems with manufacturers of cars. So what happens with that loyalty? When you start having a problem driving a vehicle day to day and then it starts haunting you, you know,
yeah.
you change. Everybody's got choices. Yeah. So, you know, it's the same thing with antivirus programs. Everyone's got choices. And, you know, what led you to make the decision in the first place?
Yeah.
So, Those are all good questions to answer, but you have to do them individually. I can't be one to say which way to go.
There you go, Dylan. Thanks for calling.
I hope that helps.
Diane, if I was worried about something, I'd make a change. Just like there are certain brands of cars I'm not going to buy anymore, based on previous experience, as you say. Diane and Spooner, your turn. Hi, Diane.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, I have an old Inspiron Dell computer. The program is the Vista program. It's probably 8 years old. I can't upgrade on it at all or anything now. And it works for me. It freezes every once in a while. But I'm in need of something new. All I do with my computer is some online buying, Google searches, banking, emails. You know, I do a few documents. I need to kind of print some things off every once in a while. I've been told a Chromebook is sufficient for my needs. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, based on what your needs are, I would say looking at a Chromebook, looking at a small netbook, which is similar. I don't know if the display size is going to be an issue for you. You can look at some tablets. You could look at an iPad. You can look at a Microsoft Surface tablet. There are other manufacturers of tablets. So a tablet with a keyboard would give you probably all that you need in terms of your list of things that you're doing. And then it also depends on your budget. So I would probably, I don't know if you live in a metropolitan area or if you travel to, like Madison has a lot of options for places to go look at things. But, depending upon your budget, let's just pick $500 as a number. There are a lot of options for things below $500, and there are a lot of options for things above $500. Mm-hmm. But they will all do what you want.
Yeah. So it's in a way, for Diane, if I was her, I'd go to a store and try out some different ones, see how they feel, see how they look.
The other thing is portability. We talk about Chromebook, small laptop, tablet with like a USB or Bluetooth keyboard if you don't really do the keyboard a lot. The weight, there are weight differences.
Yeah.
I know I take my iPad with me all the time when I travel because it's just easy to slip right in my backpack. And typically that's all I carry on is just a backpack.
Yeah. Chromebooks aren't very big. They're a little heavier than their size.
A little bit heavier, but.
Yeah. But they're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go, Diane. Thank you very much for calling. And, Anna in Eau Claire is next. Hi, Anna.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. My question is, do you lose your contact information if you move from one carrier to another using the same iPhone? Or does it stay in your iPhone?
No, they'll transfer. When you go from one carrier to another, you mean in terms of like moving your phone from one service to another? There are a couple issues with that. You won't lose your information, but the iPhone, they'll have to change out the SIM card, and I don't know if they play any other games with how they're dedicated to the different carriers. But as far as your contact information, you can go from an iPhone to an Android. You can go from an Android to an iPhone. They have software that matches up the field names, the fields, the attributes in your records for your contacts. So you can transfer anything you want back and forth.
Yeah, no problem there. I've never had a problem with that. And
in fact, there's also software that you can go online and do it yourself if you want to and, transfer it to your PC.
Yeah, I'd like to let them do it for me.
Yeah, but I mean, if you just want to have another copy of it,
sure.
You can do it way too.
For sure. There you go, Anna. Thanks for calling. And Lawrence in Guadalajara, Mexico, your turn. Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, thanks for taking me.
Sure.
I have an old desktop box that I've gotten good service out of for a long time, but lately it sounds really bad playing audio files. I don't know if it was like a System 10 upgrade I did lately or not, but I was thinking of changing sound cards, and then I realized I may not keep this computer too long. So I was thinking of getting an external sound card. Do you have any experience with those and what kind of specs I should look for? I just like to plug into some external speakers that have a woofer and you know, listen to music or television now and then.
Sure.
You know, I do not have experience with those, but I noticed them, you know, being there, and I was like, wow, that looks pretty interesting, because they talk about having like 5.1 sound, which is... you know, having front speakers, center channel, and side speakers. And I'm not sure if they probably would have ones that have 7.1, which is front, side, and rear, and the center channel. So I don't know. They didn't. They looked very inviting to try. But I usually I don't do too much sound work on my computer. I usually am either by headphones or just, you know, simple desktop speakers.
Yeah. But probably worth a try if...
Yeah, I don't think they're very expensive.
Right, that's the thing.
Yeah.
They're not very expensive.
Yep.
So give it a shot, Lawrence. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Let's talk about spyware for a minute. What spyware, talk about the problems that it can cause.
Well, you know, one of the cryptojacking that we talked in the last show, that's kind of a spyware thing where they're trying to, you know, hijack you and leverage your resources to, you know, make more digital currency for themselves. You know, as long as you keep your antivirus malware programs up to date, you should not have issues. But again, it's not 100%. The only way to be 100% is to be completely unplugged and not tapped into the internet. So when I mean keeping it up to date, as long as there are updates coming to you, you know, apply them to your system, because what that means is someone out there was compromised and something was identified and they put the fix out there for the program that you're using and keeping up to date. That's the most important thing.
Peter Green, our guest again. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions and comments, and we have some folks coming online with questions. Well, if you're, let's say you are infected though, with, you know, what do you do?
What do you do? If you know you're infected, I usually take the system offline, run a scan and see what's identified. And then though you're usually asked to quarantine or delete them. And then, you know, reboot the system, run a scan again and see what comes up. But if you feel like your system is still infected, then what you need to do is download another program that's updated and run that program on your system, because something may have gotten through your system's armor or defenses. The worst I've ever seen a system infected was like, I think it was like over 12,000 files.
Oh.
And I actually disinfected it because I couldn't rely on, here's the important thing, couldn't rely on the fact that the backup was good.
Oh.
So if you back up that system, you know, and then disinfect or redo the system and then bring those files back in.
Just bring it right back in.
You're reinfecting your system. So I never accept the answer that just start all over, because you don't know how long that thing was lingering. How long had it been going on? And then it just builds and builds to the point where your system gets awfully slow and frustrating, you know, was it going on for a week? Was it going on for a month? Was it, how long was that infection going on? So I never accept like redoing and starting over unless you're really starting over from scratch and there are no data files involved.
Let's go to Guy in Deerfield next. Guy, hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, Peter and Larry. I have a problem with my laptop. I don't know if it's a setting in the browser or if it's in the computer. Say I go to a news source, like a ESPN or a Drudge Report, and I click on an article, and I read the article, and I go back to click off, and it won't click off. And when I hold the back button down, it shows that that article has got maybe 6 to 10 refreshes. Is there a setting that I can change that so it doesn't refresh so often?
Have you tried it with multiple browsers, or is it just going on with one?
It might be mostly Google, because that's what I seem to use quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. There might be a refresh setting in Google. I've never had an issue like that. I would probably do a search and see if there is a way to change that setting. The other thing is if Google Chrome seems to be the only one that's giving you a problem, I would probably just uninstall it, reboot the system, and then reinstall it. Download a new copy and reinstall it and see how it behaves.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I would clear all the history and all the cache, all the temporary internet files to just make sure it's all clean. So you're starting with a clean slate.
Yeah, so two things to do there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know if some of these temporary files are creating issues on your machine. So when they keep building up and then sometimes you have crashes, those crashes create problem files too. So, I think... CCleaner, if you run to clean the registry and get rid of the bad entries and then have it analyze and remove the temporary internet files, almost always I reboot the machine because it's just starting out cleaner. I don't use it right after I do that because it's just better to reboot it.
Yeah. There you go, Guy. Thank you for calling. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your computer today, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Peter Green of Infostar.com. Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Tony in Madison next. Tony, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Samsung Note 2 phone. And it simply crashed, and I was told it is unrecoverable. There's nothing you can do with that phone. Is any of the information I had on that phone recoverable someplace else?
Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Have you tried syncing it up to a PC at all? Have you ever done that? Or to the cloud? You know, like Samsung's?
I don't think it was done, no.
Okay. Were you using just the memory that was in the phone and not on a separate memory card?
I had a SIM card in there,
right.
And I had nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you take it into your carrier and they looked at it?
I took it into a tech. My carrier wasn't available that day. I took it into a tech, and he looked at the phone and said, there's something broken inside the phone, and it is unrecoverable from the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You may want to take it into your carrier and just see what options they have. You know, it's where they store your data, you know, that you're trying to gain access to. And the only way to do that, I just to try and make it simple, you're needing to remove wherever that memory is stored, you know, wherever that data is stored, that needs to be removed and then put into a device that functions. And that requires probably a lot of tedious work. But I don't know, based on the Note 2, where how it's using and where it's doing the storage. Someone that's familiar, which would be your carrier, you know, they may have a group, you know, assigned within the carrier for, you know, where you pay an extra fee and they'll, you know, try their best to recover what's on the phone. But or you could go online and look for a service that may be able to do that. But it's all integrated with the phone. So yeah. unless you've done the syncing to a PC or to a cloud service, or you've used a storage device other than the phone, you know, a card, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Tony. Thank you for calling. And Rick in Bell Center, your turn, Rick. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Peter, you talk about updating the files. I'm running Windows 7. Starting 2 months ago, when I would do the critical updates and it would finish, it would totally wipe out my desktop stuff, getting rid of a bunch of icons and changing things. And I have two computers running Windows 7, and both of them did on the update. And a friend of mine running Windows 7, same thing happened. So we stopped doing any updates for about the last 3-4 months.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's the choice between not running updates and them saying there's a way to exploit some chip flaws. That's why they're pushing the updates out there. And I don't really think they're doing the work that they need to before they release these updates because of how some of the systems are affected. I've had issues with missing Windows fonts and knocking out systems that have dual monitors that the monitors don't work because the video card support was blown away. So it's really difficult, and sometimes you have to roll back the updates and just wait through it until they figure out how to fix it. So it's like sometimes you take one step forward, two steps backwards, and then slowly move forward.
It's not the nicest way in the world for them to operate.
No, I've called it kind of like the perfect tech storm in terms of the fact that there are these chip flaws, and they've told everybody all about them, and now the updates are coming, and then somebody finds another flaw in the update, so then the other up, and then it creates, can potentially create other problems, but it's, you know, what do you do?
That's the way they're operating now, unfortunately. Yeah.
We deal with it. It's very frustrating.
So, Rick, I'm sorry. Dennis in Oshkosh, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. I had a Windows 10 update. Well, they did it. They updated. And the second time now that it's happened with an update, I've lost the sound. Any idea?
Usually what I try to do is look at the device driver for the sound and update it or disable and re-enable it and see if that fixes it. And if it doesn't, usually I think it's like at least a week, maybe 10 days you can restore back to the prior version before that last update was made.
So those are the options.
So you just roll it back to where it was working.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Dennis, for calling. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Steve in Green Bay, your turn.
Yes, I have an iPad. It's about 8 years old, and I've never had any issues with it or viruses or anything, and I was wondering if I ever have to replace it in the future, would I experience the same kind of if I went to a Microsoft-based iPad or some other Android iPad, is it because they don't have hard drives that they don't have virus issues, or what is that reason?
No, actually, that's a good thing that you brought that up. I would recommend that you get antivirus for tablets and for phones, whether it's an iPhone or an Android. In fact, Android was an open operating system, so versus Apple has control. So Apple feels more secure, but in fact can experience problems. So and there are more and more of those coming, you know, happening every day. So I would recommend, you know, protection for whatever you're using.
Yeah. I haven't had any problems with mine, but huge.
No, but, you know, it's, I've had calls from people where they've had their Apple system compromised. And, you know, like I said, with the cryptojacking, if you feel like your phone's overheating or getting too hot, may not necessarily be a battery issue. Maybe, you know, that your system got, your phone got compromised.
Yeah.
So that's why I recommend making sure those are protected as well.
Sue emailed to say that somehow Search Pulse, that's a browser hijacker, got on her Firefox browser. She looked up solutions. One article cautioned that some of the solutions will add more malware to the computer. She doesn't know what to trust. Can she delete Firefox and then reinstall it? Would that solve the problem?
Probably. I'm going to guess not. Search Pulse, if she's using like a Windows, if it's on a Windows system, might be infiltrated into the system registry. So you might actually need to go in and delete the Search Pulse entries in the registry. So look and see where Search Pulse is installed. If you can remove it through Windows and then remove Firefox, which is where it seems to be embedded. I don't know if reinstalling Firefox and not having it completely removed from her machine would make it go away. Mm-hmm. It would have to be, you know, surgically, digitally removed from the registry and no evidence that it's there. And then reinstall Firefox and she'd probably be okay.
Mary in Fox City, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a question regarding my Wi-Fi access. I have a phone. And my internet service is tethered from my phone. And I seem to have very good luck with both PCs tethered to my phone and internet service. However, now I'm trying to hook up some video cameras and other types of devices, and it keeps telling me to hook up to my Wi-Fi router, and it directs me to my phone Wi-Fi, but I can never seem to get it hooked up successfully. So what is the recommend? First of all, when they say a Wi-Fi router, that obviously to me, through my experience, means it's not necessarily your Wi-Fi on your phone. And the other question I would like to ask is, what would be the recommendation regarding like video cameras and hooking them up to your phone?
Hmm. Good questions. So you're using your phone as a hotspot, and then you're trying to link your camera to your phone, correct?
That is correct, and okay. The camera is specifically asking for my Wi-Fi, and I do have Wi-Fi on as mm-hmm. well as my hotspot.
Right. So what else are you saying it's having a problem actually hooking up to it? What is it? What kind of...
what is it telling
you? Where is the roadblock? What is it?
The roadblock is that my Wi-Fi, when it goes to connect to their servers, to obviously register, it's not doing that, and it's failing.
Hmm.
And there's some other unusual things that are happening, too. Is like, for instance, if I'm on my recently, because I just upgraded my phone, recently now, when I'm on the Internet and I'm on my phone, I can't be on both at the same time. So other things are happening, too. My question, I guess, overall is, would it be your recommendation to have a separate Wi-Fi router? And if I do have a Wi-Fi router, is that something that I can hook to my phone?
So What it sounds to me that's happening with the camera is it's trying to go through your phone, and there are some restrictions that your carrier's put on it. It's not letting it get through to talk to the server. I don't know why, but that's what it sounds like. If you get a separate Wi-Fi router, your phone will be able to talk to it. I do that all the time. I have it at home. I have it at work. I set it up for people at work so that when they come in, they use the Wi-Fi that's for them that's accessible from our routers that are stationed in different locations. As far as the camera, you'll probably, I can't say you won't have a problem, but you probably shouldn't have a problem if you're using a dedicated Wi-Fi router versus going through your phone as a hotspot.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Well, Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today, and having a lot of fun, I guess. People are having a lot of problems, so I guess we're having a lot of fun talking about them as we visit with him. You can join in. There's a couple of open lines for you. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. We are going to take a look at the news, the weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with Peter. So you stay with us. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here taking a look at your computer with Peter Green, computer consultant with Infostar.com. He comes in every couple of months to talk with you about your computer problems, and I hope you'll join in now. The lines are filled right now. The number is 800-642-1234. And Pete, every time you're on, right after the news, we go through a list, a top 10 list of sites that you've found that you think listeners might be interested in.
And let's go through them as quickly as we can. If you go to Infostar.com, the top left, if you go to the top 10 archives and scroll to today's date or click on current top 10, you'll go to the list. The first one is for helping our country achieve better and affordable health care. It's called qualityforum.org. If you're into what's the latest with movies and news, shows, things like that, comingsoon.net is a place to visit. If you need to do some online invitations or special occasions, there's a few resources out there. One that I've got listed is called punchbowl.com. If you're curious about web pages not working, or if you're working on creating them and you want to see how well they do, this resource, webpagetest.org, will come in handy. The next one, if you're traveling to a foreign country and they don't use our currency, if you go to xe.com, it's got a currency converter there, and you'll know what your money's worth. Expat, expat.com, is short for expatriate, which is for people that are temporarily or permanently residing outside of our country. And it's a great resource, has over 2.2 million members to help each other deal with issues being abroad. RD.com is the official Reader's Digest website. And, you know, I used to read those in doctors and dentist offices long, long time ago. And I stumbled across this, and I was like, wow, it's got a lot of useful information. And I don't even know if they're still in print. But
they are.
They are?
Yeah,
still in print. But the website's pretty cool. Number eight is called Thrillist.com, and it's got a bunch of cities, places that you might visit that have information for entertainment, food, restaurants, and stuff like that. Number nine is SecurityScorecard.com. And it offers a free security test, so you can check that out. And then number 10 is called LifeWire.com, and it's a resource to help you use, fix, and handle technology. They claim technology untangled.
And all that on your Infostar.com website.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, let's go back to the phones, and Roger in Grantsburg has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Good.
Like your show today.
Thank you.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I have a question for you. I have an old desktop, Windows desktop. It's got a Windows Vista on it, and it's we're trying to get a new computer. We're going to get a new one, but what I want to do is get the pictures and stuff that are on there out there. It won't open up when you go in, you start it up and try to boot it up. It comes up with Windows won't open normally, and it says to insert Windows operating disk. I don't have an operating disk for it. It was given to us from my mama's son, and it's like, how do you get into it?
What are your options? One is to try and fix that error, or to take that drive out of the computer, hook it up to a hard drive kit so you can plug it in externally into another system, and then read the drive, read the files, and then copy them to the other computer.
It's like I'm just trying to get into it. I had done it before where you bring it up and it says how many seconds normally open with normal operating system, mm-hmm. and it gives you a countdown. And,
right.
and it's
you,
like,
have you tried bringing it up in the safe mode at all?
In the what?
In the safe mode?
Yes, it won't come up that way either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would probably, if you're having problems like that, I would take the drive out of the system and put it in an external hard drive kit and then hook it up to another computer. If you're technically inclined, and I mean, I've done this, you take the drive out of that system and then plug it in as an internal drive, and it's just, you know, typically you have hard drive C, and then that would be D. Or, you know, however your system is set up. But you could also plug it in, but you'd have to open up the new computer. Based on the fact that it's Vista, I'm not sure what kind of hard drive is in there, but you may or may not have the hookups in a brand new system to actually plug it in internally. So that's why hooking it up to an external drive kit that's for that drive. So you would take the drive out, bring it to a place like Office Depot, Office Max, or a PC repair place, or maybe Best Buy. They would have a kit that you could hook that up to.
Yeah. Or haul the whole thing.
Yeah, or take the whole thing.
Take the whole thing there and let them do it for you. If you're worried about taking that out, drive out, for sure. That's your option, Raj. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to James and Tomahawk next. Hi, James.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Larry, just wanted to say love the program, love the breadth of topics. I know you're always looking for additional topics.
Yeah.
I had a suggestion for you. Wisconsin State Trail System, you know, rail trails and bicycle trails and things like that. I don't know if you've done that one in a while, but I'd be curious to get an update on where we're at.
All righty.
And then, Peter, I have a question for you. Frustration. I am trying to transfer photos from my phone to my laptop. And normally when you plug in the USB and you hook it up, the laptop recognizes the phone as an external data source,
right.
Data storage. And this one, and it's not. It has worked with an iPhone. It has worked with my old LG phone. But I'm trying to go from a Samsung S6.
Okay.
Android 7.0 operating system to a Windows 10 laptop, and it just won't recognize the phone. I've used the old Google machine to try to get an answer from the internet, and I haven't found anything. What do you suggest?
Have you tried using the Samsung Android app to just, you know, sync up with the computer? You know, where you cable it up, and then there's a Samsung application that allows you to, you know, see the files on your phone.
I have not done that.
Okay. Yeah, that's one thing I would do. The other thing is you could use Google Drive to move your photos or sync up that way. And you don't have to be hardwired with a USB cable to your computer to do that, you know, to sync to the cloud with your phone.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So that's the other way I would get my, yeah. I mean, I do it all the time.
Yeah. There you go.
And Google reminds me, hey, you remember what you were doing this time last year with your pictures? And then it says, on this day.
You did this.
Yeah.
There you go, James. Thanks. Appreciate the call. And on to Mary in Arborvita. Mary, hi.
Hi. My question today is about getting some black boxes that appear on the web pages that I'm on. I went to Reimage. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I'm sure you must be. And they took care of most of it, but I'm still getting some on some web pages. I'm getting these black boxes that pop up.
Are you using, is it just one browser that you're using, or are you using multiple browsers and you see the same thing?
I'm just using Chrome.
Okay. I would try doing the same thing with a different browser, so Firefox or Safari or Windows, you know, Edge or Explorer, you know, and see if it's reacting the same way. If it's not and everything looks fine, then it sounds to me like Chrome's having a problem, and I would probably uninstall it and reinstall it. But that's where I would start to look at that problem. And that's why I recommend people to have multiple web browsers, because what you see with one may not necessarily be what you see with the other one, and that's a way to help you troubleshoot problems.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Mary. Thank you. And Lynette in Richfield, your turn.
Hi, I'm calling regarding the gal who called right before the news about her cameras and having problems with that. What I found with a couple of different manufacturers of cameras that I was setting up is that you need to have the camera itself plugged into the power source very near the router that you're, the Wi-Fi router that you're trying to connect with, just for the initial setup. So you have to be like within 6-12 inches of your router for the initial setup, get it all set up and get all your settings right. And then you can move the camera to a location 30, 40, 50 feet away from the router.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
Where you want it actually placed. It won't set up initially 20, 30, 40, 50 feet away.
That's a great observation. That's not what you would typically expect, you know, how it should work, but that's a great observation.
Oh, thanks, Lynette. That you probably helped a lot of people. Thank you very much for calling. Well, Bob in Franklin has a question. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Time Warner for internet and phone service, and when I start up the computer and try to get on the internet, very frequently I do not have a connection. And what I've been told to do is disconnect the cable from the modem to the computer and reconnect it. And sometimes that works. And I've also been told to unplug the modem and restart it. And most of the time that works. But, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, every time.
So who's your service provider?
It's Spectrum.
Okay, how long have you had them?
Oh, years.
Okay. What I would recommend doing is you should probably call them and ask for a tech to come out and check all of your connections. You may have a short in one of them that's causing too much network or chatter in your house. And it just frustrates your system and just shuts it down. I've had problems where I've had multiple techs come out to a location, and one of them finally realized that they had to change out some connectors because they were bad. They were just creating problems where the signal was not properly coming in. It would work, but it would not work to where the way it should be.
Yeah. And Bob's had this for a long, long time, so that could well be the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's what I would do.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mary in South Range next. Hi, Mary.
Good afternoon. I receive an error message when I start up my computer each time. It says, diskette drive zero, seek failure. And then it says, press F1 to continue. I do that, and it continues. What do I need to do to fix this?
So how old's your computer?
Ancient.
Okay. So it continues, and then it works normally.
Normally after I press the F1 to continue.
Yeah, it sounds to me like when it says diskette drive zero or whatever number it's assigning to it, it's in your firmware, and the drive may you probably have like a 3.5-inch drive in your system.
I don't know.
Okay, do you have something where you can kind of push in a little door? It's like
yeah.
So there's probably a physical problem with that drive.
Mm-hmm.
And the system is basically telling you, hey, this is one of the drives that's attached to me has got a problem.
Okay.
But I'm going to let you go on and do whatever you want after you press the function key.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not affecting what you're doing with the computer. It's just that there's a physical component.
Is this going to escalate into something that someday I won't be able to do anything and lose everything or not?
It's either the controller or it's one of three things. It's either the controller. I'll back that up. It could be four. The controller, the cable, the drive itself, or you have something stuck in there that's causing it to error.
Okay.
You know, maybe you had somebody come over and they shoved a pencil in there or something like that. I'm just, throwing that out there. So one of four things. But as long as it continues to function, and you use it normally, it's okay. I would just make sure that if you have data files that, you're backing up your system because you said it's ancient. What operating system are you using? Are you using Windows 7?
Windows XP.
Windows XP. Yeah, I would definitely make sure that you're doing backups of your data files. So if you have pictures or music, documents that you've written that you want, maybe it's time for you to, look at getting your system upgraded, but make sure you back up your files before that.
Thank you very much.
Yep. All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Time for another question. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call if you want to join in for a quick question. We have Linda on email. She says she recently had a major Win 10 update. Now her scanner, it's an HP G4010, no longer works. She gets an error message when she launches the software. She has uninstalled and reinstalled multiple times with no success. The HP support site has the software she used after her initial upgrade to Win 10. Any ideas?
That's where that rollback that I talked about, you've got that small window. And I don't understand why they make it such a small window of like 7 to 10 days or whatever that you can roll back to, these updates. It's very frustrating because after that opportunity evaporates. But that's what I would recommend doing when I see problems like that. That's what we do. We just roll it back, and eventually you're gonna have to try it again and see if they have a fix to it.
And rolling back isn't that difficult.
No, it's in the Windows systems. The gear when you get into it and stuff. The stuff that I talk about has been written in major metropolitan areas and newspapers, and I laugh and cringe at the same time because I know how frustrating it is, and it's like, what else can you do?
Kent in Madison, your turn. Hi, Kent. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm calling about the lady that had the problem with the chrome and the black boxes.
Yeah.
I've spoke to Microsoft and I've spoke to Chrome about this. This is a long-going problem. Microsoft said that when they upgraded to Windows 10 from a lower one, when they gave away the free ones, a lot of computers should not have been updated. And what happens is the technology is beyond their computer. So you do not get a video playback. You get a black box over the video. What you can do is you can either download the video and play it back and watch it, or you can do what I did, and that is get Firefox.
So a different browser it would work with, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Firefox and Edge will still work, but Opera and Google will not work.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay.
Thank you, Kent. Appreciate that. Good information.
That's why multiple web browsers is always...
is a good thing.
Yep.
Kurt emailed to ask how to get rid of Mac Keeper from his iMac desktop.
Get rid of Mac Keeper from his... desktop.
iMac, yeah, I don't know why he wants to do it, but
you just drag it into the trash.
Yeah, I don't. But
unless it would be locked or protected.
Mac Keeper isn't protected, is it?
No.
No, I don't think it's protected. So I think all he has to do is drag it to the.
The other thing is you can go into Finder and just go to your desktop and also go into your apps and just highlight the files and drag them into your trash and remove them.
And Lacey emailed to say her parents think she's some sort of computer genius. 99.9% of the time, she just Googles the problem to find the solution. And she says, thanks, Google. Oh, boy.
Well, I use Google a lot, but sometimes I don't find the solutions and just keep trying. Remember I said it's how you ask the question, look for the answer, read the answer, and then understand if it's not answered on what you found, figure out how to rephrase the question better.
Yeah, it's that making sure you've got that question phrased properly that can sometimes be difficult.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, here we are about out of time, Pete. It's been a lot of fun. Somebody asked me, how do you find your top 10 list? How do you come up with that every...
I don't know, just thinking of doing stuff, you know? People move to Aruba. I visited Aruba last year and just kind of entertained, what would it be like to live in Aruba? What does it take to live there? So then you find a resource that says, hey, this is, you know, what the deal is, you know, stuff like that. You know, just everyday questions and then just expand on it. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, that'd be a good thing for someone to know.
You're not moving to Aruba anytime
soon.
No. Okay. Pete, it's always a pleasure. Thank
Only
you so much.
Only in the winter time.
Only in the winter. I can understand that. Peter Green, our guest today. Pete is, of course, with Infostar.com, computer consultant with Infostar.com. He talks with us regularly to help you with your personal computer problems. And he will be back on August 6th, and we will do this all over again with him. So take a look to tomorrow at 11. We'll take a look at the importance of vacations and talk about ways to make sure everyone gets on the trip, everyone on the trip gets along. That's tomorrow at 11. And 11:45, we'll be talking about Wisconsin Bike Week with our guest from the Wisconsin Bike Federation. So I hope you'll join us for that. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.